Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
To the Voice of Pittsburgh, KDKA Radio. I'm Lynn Hayes Freeland. Glad to have you with me in this second hour on a Monday afternoon. Yeah, isn't it funny how Friday you get all geeked up and then you get to Monday and it's like, it's Monday. I think I'm also kind of feeling that way because of the loss of a friend. Bishop Lorne Mann died over the weekend. So I say bishop because, in fact, he was the bishop within the Pentecostal church. And Lorne Mann had so many different communities that he touched. There was the religious community, the spiritual community. Lorne Mann was a broadcaster, television, radio, so he had another fan base. Lauren's even called into this show, I remember, not too terribly long ago when the Pittsburgh Marathon was actually still going on. They ran past his church out in East Liberty, and he called in to talk about that. Probably my first year, maybe my second year. My second year was during the pandemic, so it would have been my first year here on KDKA Radio. But Lauren Mann, we're going to reflect on Lauren in this hour. We're going to talk with a former co-worker and friend coming up in just a minute. But when I got into this business, and so many other people got into this business, a lot of it was about your voice, how you prepared for it, what your voice sounded like, and whether or not it would resonate. KDKA Radio's Robert Mangino had a chance to interview Lauren Mann last year as KDKA prepared for its 100th anniversary and also prepared to celebrate one of our original reporters, George Barber. So let's take a listen to part of that interview right now.
Was there a bit of preparation that took place on the radio side before you transitioned to TV? And who would you say was most influential in helping you develop the skills necessary to make that move?
I attribute Bill Steinbach as being one who was very influential in my broadcasting career, and also George Barber. George, being the first African-American newsman hired on KDKA, I was the first African-American staff announcer hired. And, George and I continue to be great friends. That's his family and mine. And these men molded me into broadcasting and helped me to understand what journalism is all about, taught me how to put myself in the position of the hearer and to ask those important questions that a listener would want to ask and would want a response to. They taught me not just the mechanics of and the protocol of interviewing, but they also taught me the joy. And the story, is a story is like good meat. In our community, they say good meat makes its own gravy. And that's what happens with a good story. It develops itself. The story develops from the answers that you hear from the person that you're interviewing. And it is never the way you perceive it to be. The story is what it is, not what we make it. They taught me how to be objective. That's something that's kind of lost nowadays, as you well know, Mangino.
Yes.
We did not assume an advocacy position back in the day. We stood between the event and our audience, and we tried to give the best representation and description of what was happening, because after all, that is what news is about. It is the new thing, the new top, the new development that happens in any event. So these are some of the persons that I will long admire. Bill Burns, when I was getting ready to make the transition to full-time television, I rode with Bill Burns to the Westinghouse Christmas party. That was a ride I will never forget, because Bill Burns talked to me all the way from Gateway Center out to the party. I think it was at the Green Tree Holiday Inn or whatever it was back in that day. Mm-hmm. And we talked about television and communicating. And he said to me, Lauren, the camera is not a camera. The camera is a person. Talk to the camera as you would a person. Make it mentally another person. Learn how to talk to yourself when you're shaving in the morning. Talk as you are in the mirror. Talk as you're driving along, looking into your rearview mirror. Talk to yourself in the car as you drive, and you will develop a friendliness with the mirror, and you will develop a relationship with your audience if you can handle yourself in the mirror. That's advice I will never forget. Yeah. And it carried me through the entirety of my career.
And be willing to have everybody who sees you doing all this think you're crazy.
Yeah. You know, you got to have something wrong with you to even get in broadcasting and broadcast news these days, I say, because it's so different.
And you know what? That's so funny. And I'm going to be honest, I hadn't heard all of that interview until just this very moment. But that advice that Burns, that Bill Burns gave Lauren Mann, is the same advice that I got, I don't know how many years later, and the same advice I give young reporters when they come in. You know, that camera becomes that person. And some people are able to develop that talent, that skill, that gift of being able to make that eye contact with the camera that translates into eye contact with the viewer, and some people can't. I mean, when you look at Lauren Mann, he did radio, he did TV, he started a church, he built a church, he grew a church. Lauren essentially had three different careers. I mean, he had three different careers. They didn't necessarily overlap. One led to the other. And Lauren did that in a time period where people didn't do that. People got a job, they stayed there, they got their pension, and they stayed there. They didn't go from one industry to another. I mean, even now, when you talk about going from radio to television, that is not an easy feat, because the skills that are necessary for one part of this business don't always transfer or translate to another part of the business. So coming up, as soon as we check in with traffic and take care of a few things, we're going to talk with another Pittsburgh broadcasting legend, icon, Jim Scott. Jim Scott has been, Jim in many ways and Lauren are very similar. Not only were they trailblazers for many of us, they were good friends to us. They were good friends to each other. And we're going to talk about the early days, not the early days, but the days when both Jim and Lauren were here at KDKA Radio, how the business has changed, and so much more. It's all a conversation you don't want to miss. I tell you what, and even just saying the names Lauren Mann, Jim Scott, my email's blowing up, my social media is blowing up. I am just delighted to welcome into this space. I mean, I could describe Jim as a lot of different things. I mean, certainly he is an icon in Pittsburgh media. He is one of those people that most of us turn to at some point in time to get a story, to get the information, to be comforted as he sat at the news desk. But Jim Scott is also a friend, and that's one of the things I want to talk about. Jim Scott, the friend to Lauren Mann. He joins us now on the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh Newsline. Welcome, Jim.
Hey, Lynn. Thank you. Appreciate it.
It is so good to have you here, but I am so saddened that you are here because we're talking about the now late Bishop Lauren Mann.
I know. Lauren was such a good friend of mine. And when I heard the news, I mean, I just had to pause, sit down and pause. And I started going back over, 40 years or so, almost 50 years of just our friendship and our beginning in the news business. When I came to KDKA Radio, it was in the 70s. Forgive me, the date's a little fuzzy. I get senior moments sometimes, but I believe it was in 1973. And Lauren was one of the first people I met and got to talk with, and it was rare because in those times you didn't have two black men working in newsrooms at all. You usually had one, mm-hmm. and when one left, right. another one came in. And I remember Lauren pulled me to the side, and one of the first words he said to me, he asked me if I knew how to pray and if I believed in heaven. And I thought for a minute, and I said, well, of course I do. And he responded back and said, well, you're going to need prayer while you're here, and you may catch hell, so heaven has to be in your vision. That's how our relationship got started. Because
Lauren statement. That's such a Lauren comment. Yeah.
Yes. And see, Lauren, it was tough, and people don't know, it was tough being a minister and a newsman at the same time because the acceptance in the buildings wasn't very good. Because I remember one person approaching Lauren, openly criticizing him, saying something like, do you want to be a newsman or a minister? As if you couldn't do both. And I don't recall how Lauren answered it, but he didn't get angry. He simply said, well, of course. I can do both. I'm doing both. And, you know, you spoke earlier about things he had accomplished. He had the vision for all of that back then. He used to tell me about the radio venture he wanted. He told me he wanted a larger church because I remember he was so proud about setting up his church in Wilkinsburg, Lower Lakeland Road in Wilkinsburg. And he said, Jim, I had this vision, and I'm going to follow it. He said, God has spoken to me. He has put all of this before me. I'm going to do it all. And you know, it wasn't all happy. There weren't all happy times in the early days of broadcasting. Lauren and I used to leave KDK, walk over Penn Avenue to 6th Street. There was a little hot dog shop called New York Hot Dog Shop. And we'd stand around and eat the 25-cent hot dogs and get all of the frustration out, if we had any, and then we'd walk back and go back on the air and just, you know, act like it's a new day, another day. And I think
I don't want to cut you off. I know we have a little bit of time with you, but I'm curious because you mentioned that era in time. And I mean, even now in 2021, sometimes you will not find two African-American males in one station. So talk to me about that environment.
Well, it depends on where you were. I remember the Group W station, which was a Westinghouse group. KDK was a part of it. I was in the Fort Wayne station in Indiana before they moved me to Pittsburgh. But in the environment when I started, my boss pulled me in and said, you know, it's 1970. We are just starting to bring in people of color and women into these newsrooms. And some of the guys who are in here and some of the women who are in here won't be happy with it, won't like it. It was tough to understand, you know, and at the time I was married with a child and another child on the way. So I knew that I had to be a person who worked, and I was a father, and it wasn't important. I didn't believe it would be that tough, but it was because there were some in those newsrooms who just didn't want us there. They didn't express why. They just didn't want us, and it showed. You know, there wasn't anything blatant or overt because I wouldn't have taken that. But, it was tough. The pressure was on. And so when I moved to KDK, that's what I said. I was shocked that Lauren Mann was there. Now, I knew of Lauren Mann because he knew a lot of my family members, so it wasn't a total surprise that, oh, here's this Lauren Mann fellow. But those times were tough. So I just imagine Lauren trying to do all of those different things and still fit into that environment. That was tough. That was so tough.
Well, you know, even when I got to know Lauren out on the street as a street reporter, I was always amazed at that because, you know, we'd be out on a story and one minute somebody was coming up and, hey, you're Lauren Mann from WPXI. And then the next minute it was like, hey, there's my pastor. There's Reverend Mann. Yes. And he did. He moved seamlessly between the two.
He knew how to move, you're right, between the two or between the three at times. He was like the Energizer Bunny. I used to ask Lauren, when do you sleep? Particularly when he went over to PXI TV, not long after, about a year later, I went over to WTAE TV, and we still kept in touch. And Lauren was always busy, always doing something. And the part that I didn't tell you yet is I was in
Hold that part.
Okay.
Hold that part, Jim.
All right.
We got to take a break. We're going to get traffic. We'll continue because the other thing I really want to talk to you about is Lauren Mann, the friend, which is what everybody says about Lauren. Lots to talk about. Jim Scott's on the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh Newsline. We are remembering our friend, the now late Bishop Lauren Mann. You are listening to the Voice of Pittsburgh, KDKA Radio. I feel like I can't be the Voice of Pittsburgh when I have somebody like Jim Scott on the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh Newsline. I feel like he should be the Voice of Pittsburgh, but thanks for hanging with us today, Jim. We have so much to talk about as we remember Lauren Mann. Let me first pivot to everything I read on social media this weekend. Talked about, you know, he did my wedding, he did my counseling, he did this, he did that. And I know that, you know, in the last year, Lauren and I talked a lot. It started with the 100th anniversary of KDKA Radio. And then we talked about everything from, you know, apps that he could use at his radio station. Lauren just had, there was something innate about him that made him a good friend.
Yes. He had it all. As I said before, he had vision. There's no question about that. He wanted things, and he knew things, but he didn't just want them and know them. He went and found them. And I think that's what's lacking in some people today. Lauren saw it, he went for it, and he made it work. And he trusted himself. He trusted the people around him. He wanted to bring you all along, and that's the main thing about him. He was not just about Lauren Mann. He was about everyone who came, you know, within that circle, within his vision. He wanted you all to be successful. He wanted us all to be successful. And I have to tell you, we talked about him and having to separate between being a minister and a news person and a radio person and other. He handled all of those things so well, Lynn, so well.
Well, and you know, it's so funny because I remember one of the first times Lauren called in to the radio station. And we were talking about the closing of the roads around the Pittsburgh Marathon.
Right.
And, you know, the impact that it had on different businesses and churches. And I looked up at the call screener and it said Lauren Mann. And I was like, the Lauren Mann? I'm thinking that to myself, you know. And then I take the call and it's like you hear that voice and it was unmistakable. But that, I mean, you know, and he had input. He had a perspective and he wanted to get it out there.
Yep. Yep. And it's. When you got the call, you would always hear him say, Jim, this is Lauren. You knew who he was the moment he spoke. He didn't have to say who it was anyway. Because that voice just moved you. And you know, when he spoke, he meant what he said. And he said what he meant. I found that you could trust him. You really could trust him. His word was good. If you discussed some things with Lauren, they stayed with Lauren.
Wow.
They did. You didn't have to say, no, keep this to yourself. You know, that's the kind of friend he was. That's the kind of person he was.
So when you look at, you know, when you look at the news, when you and Lauren were doing news together in the 70s, it was different news than is being covered in 2021. I don't know how much you've talked to Lauren in recent days, but did you guys ever talk about, you know, how the business has evolved since then?
Oh, yes, we did. And first of all, you didn't have the internet back then, and you didn't have the citizen journalism where everyone now thinks they are journalists simply because they have the Facebook pages or the Instagrams, and everyone is a writer now, but they're not journalists. They're not real news people. And there's no one to check the writing. Back then, people checked what you wrote, Lynn. And you must admit, in the early days of you, even being in TV, there were people who checked what you wrote
absolutely.
Before you went on air with it. Not so much today, because you hear some things that are just not quite right. And people just kind of gloss over the facts. But back in the day, you couldn't, you would be fired for some of the mm-hmm. things that happen now, because you had to be, if above all, accurate. You had to be accurate. And Lauren was good.
I was going to say, not only did you have to be accurate, you had to be right. And as men of color, you almost had to be twice as right.
Oh, there was added pressure there. We felt it. Because, again, there were those who said it. There were those who acted it out. But, you know, you just couldn't let it get to you, because you wouldn't have been around. You would have had to change careers back then. As I said, I had a family, so I had to be. I wanted to be in radio and TV since high school. You know, the days when I used to go over to WHAMO and read news at night. So I knew, I was driven to that extent. But a lot of folks just weren't. You know, they got in, it was too much, they got out. But not mm-hmm. Lauren. Mm-hmm. Lauren juggled those balls so well. He really did.
So, you know, it's always hard in these situations, because we, you know, the media wants to tie everything up in a nice little bow. And, you know, what was Bishop Lauren Mann, what will his legacy be? I think it's too soon to say. What do you think?
I think, if anything, he was a good son to Pittsburgh. He was a terrific father, husband. I would say that, and friend. If anything, anyone who calls Lauren Mann a friend knows what kind of friend he really was. Mm-hmm. That would be it. That's a start, a good start for his legacy.
Wow.
Because he's done it all. He really has.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he really has. And you know, it's kind of interesting, because people like you, people like Lauren, Harold Hayes, Bob Allen, Dee Thompson, you guys, I mean, you were here for years and made an impact on this city and this industry. I don't know if that's what the future holds.
Well, and some of my mentors, George Barber, Vic Miles, Dennis Hawley, I mean, a lot of black men, good black men, came through Pittsburgh. And we would all probably tell some of the same stories. And we survived, and I survived, and I had a great life out of the business. But it wasn't easy. I just want people to know it was not easy. Just because you were on that picture tube or on that radio station, you know, it was a battle to stay there. And that's okay that people know that, because we all survived it, and I'm happy. I'm not bitter about any of it, because I learned, and I survived, and I had a great life from it all.
Well, I got to say this as we wrap this up, Jim Scott, you too have been a great friend. You've been a great friend to me over the years. And not only do I appreciate everything I got from Lauren, from you, and just know that we love you, guy. We love you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you too as well, Lynn. You know that. And my boy Harold, I miss him because I was at KDKA as a manager there.
Right.
And Lynn used to tell people, well, he's my boss. I said, hey, I hated that.
You were my boss.
I was the manager there. But, you know, so we all keep touch, and that's the beauty
we
of
do.
It all.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So, again, Lauren Mann
absolutely.
Will be missed very much so.
He will, and I know you're feeling it. You will miss your friend, but he also left here knowing that you were his friend.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Jim Scott, thanks for joining us today. I always appreciate you.
All right. Tell Paul Alexander hi. Thanks for that.
I will.
Right.
I sure will.